Manchester Derby.
Stop laughing Sunday. At the back, everyone. Suji's visual description was a lot funnier than what he said.
The Fantasy Football Show. Hello, patrons. Happy Friday. Differential show. Like, we wanted to do this about 2 hours ago. We had no internet in the office because of some fuckery. But anyway, we're live now. We're recording, getting ready for the weekend.
Let's do predictions first.
What did you want to do first?
I was going to say, let's talk about Alexander Isak. I
mean, it's minor. But where I wanted to start was minus 56, because I don't know how the fuck you played Harrison Reed, benched Kulusevski, and had the captain's armband on Foden instead of Haaland. You are not telling me that any of that was intentional.
Of course not. We'll talk about that in a bit.
Fair play. You had Son, right? And Foden and Haaland scored pretty much give or take the same points.
I was meant to be captain, Son. So it didn't all work out in my favour.
I'm not... you would have still beaten me. But it's just funny that when
I would have captained Haaland, I think. Yeah.
When I look at it, and it's like Begovic, Patterson, Kulusevski. I think you should have bench boosted, mate, to be honest with you. It was like 20 points on the bench at least. But anyway, we get to the minus 56 right at the end of the show. We'll start with predictions, get through the games, talk about our teams and what we're planning on doing, and all the other games, dead team, differential team, and so on. Arsenal at home to Spurs, 12:30 tomorrow. I don't think I'm going to watch the first half. I'm going to catch the second half.
I'll be over by then.
I'm going 2-1 to Arsenal.
Reasoning, please.
Home advantage. I don't think it's going to be a rip-roaring game. I think it's one of those games where you're more scared of losing than anything else. So you'd rather... But I think you'd both take a draw and walk away right now kind of thing. Arsenal probably less so because it's a home game.
They're at home. Yeah, logically, the game is often won by the home team.
Yeah.
I think Arsenal have won at Tottenham, I want to say once now in about 12, 13 years. Our records are the same. Basically, we haven't won there since 2011. Yeah. Home advantage is important. The first goal often doesn't matter. We get loads of comeback victories, although in both games last year, obviously both teams kind of raced into leads, if you will. I am of the same opinion of you, Suj. I have the same prediction, which is 2-1 to Arsenal, and it's similar reasons. I just think they're in a good spell at the moment. I think I expect the atmosphere to be lively. It was decent when I went there last September. I expect it to be even livelier tomorrow. That might bring a little bit of anxiousness now. There's like a different pressure on Arsenal in the sense that there's expectancy.
Yep.
Whereas maybe there wasn't so much. There was a got to beat them kind of attitude. It was really interesting earlier in the week. I listened back to the podcast I did with Adam and Ricky 18 months ago, which was a couple of weeks before Mourinho got sacked. And the difference in the mood between the two guys from then to now tells you the path that the two teams are on. But I think if we were at home, would fancy us this weekend.
I think, yeah.
They're at home. Yeah, I think 2-1 to them.
Bournemouth-Brentford. I've gone with a 1-1, the Brighton special for this one, even though Brighton are not involved. I do think Bournemouth will score. They've scored in their last few. They're kind of goals are back on the menu for Bournemouth. Brentford aren't great away from home. You've highlighted to me before their away from home record isn't as good as their home record. First came back after the international break. Quite often they're a bit shit, so I'm just going with a 1-1.
To be fair to Brentford, look, they've only lost one of their three away games this season, but I definitely think they always give the opposition the chance in games like this. And I do think, yes, that I wouldn't trust Brentford to predict them to win any away game. I don't think, actually, despite the fact there's a lot to like about them. And Bournemouth have done all right so far under Gary O'Neill. We think a takeover could happen next week, possibly, with this American firm that's been linked. Gary O'Neill's doing a fine little job at the moment with their 5 points from the three games. I have the same, Suj. I hope all our predictions aren't going to be the same. But yes, I have 1-1 for Bournemouth and Brentford as well.
Well, I might surprise you with Crystal Palace-Chelsea. This is the one I'm in shock. I don't think you can describe it as a shock if Crystal Palace at home do over Chelsea. But it would be they are the underdogs. But I'm going 1-0 to Crystal Palace.
Not
a big scoreline, but I'm going to go 1-0 to Crystal Palace, mate.
What's the thinking? Elaborate, mate.
Defensively, frustrating and very difficult to break down. And I think they'll catch them on the counter. I just think Chelsea have shown in the past that they can dominate games and kind of sort of create chances and still not score. I think back to the Everton game last year where they should have scored more and didn't. I'm thinking Crystal Palace are going to put up a good performance and win 1-0.
Graham Potter's Chelsea manager now, isn't he?
He is.
1-1.
Okay. I don't mind that prediction. I think it's decent.
Got nothing else to add.
Fulham at home to Newcastle.
Yeah, I've got a strange prediction for this one. I've gone for 0-0. Newcastle are having this run of draws. Fulham haven't had one clean sheet this season, which was game week 2. Part of thinking is Paulinho's suspension. I think it's going to weaken Fulham quite a bit, actually. It's worth saying that as I retweeted Dara's tweet last night, that it might mean that Pereira plays deeper, actually, for Fulham tomorrow night. So those who are having sort of the Pereira versus Bailey debates. Pereira 3 points, Bailey 2, probably. You know what I mean? But maybe it's probably not the right week for Pereira. There's lots of question marks about Newcastle fitness-wise going forward. We have obviously joked about Isak. The true word on Isak seems to be that the injury is not as bad as feared.
But
he's running,
weekend.
But he ain't going to play this weekend. Yeah, correct. Callum Wilson, we know, is available. Declared that as such on his own podcast with Mikel Antonio.
I haven't listened to this week's episode.
Neither have I, mate. But you can just find the information out there. And Eddie Howe said he's in a good place as well. They probably could have forced him for the game with Bournemouth a couple of weeks ago, but because it was the international break and Isak was available, they waited. Guimaraes should be fit as well. But I don't think a draw is a bad result for either, really. I'm going to go 0-0.
1-1 for me. I think very similar to what you said, but I just think they both teams have got enough to get at least one goal between them each. So 1-1 for me. Liverpool at home to RDZ's Brighton.
Liverpool 3-2, as discussed on COTC 8 days ago. This could be a mess, but a good fun mess. It's a shame that this isn't one of the televised games this week. It's the game I'd be most keen to watch, primarily for Brighton reasons. I think they will go to Anfield without fear, and I think they will trouble Liverpool, but I think they'll offer up opportunities for Liverpool as well. I'm going 3-2 Liverpool.
I'm going 2-1. All the same as you, I think it could be end-to-end. I think there'll be good football and... I think it'll be a decent game. I just don't think it'll be as car crashy as a 3-2. I just think it'll be a 2-1 rather than all guns blazing and both sides really throwing the kitchen sink at it. Southampton, Everton. I'm going to go 0-2 in this one. I'm going to back Everton to win 2-0.
Something very rare you're about to hear from, mate. Everton away win prediction.
Same as me then.
2-1 Everton. I've got something doesn't feel right with Southampton, which is strange really, yeah. Because they've lost 1-0 to Wolves. They could have got something out of the game. They were badly disappointing at Aston Villa when they lost 1-0 on the Friday night paint dry game. Yet before that, their last home victory, which seems like a lifetime ago, in game week 5, they beat Chelsea. So I don't know if I've picked up just a negative feeling, maybe because like they haven't scored for like a month.
I don't see their
goals.
Which
isn't necessarily their fault.
That's why I've gone 2-0 over 2-1. I just don't see their goals. And I saw Everton against us. Defensively, they're very difficult to break down. They're very solid. They're very physical. I think when we did the SkyPod, you talked about tackle numbers and Everton are right up there for getting in your faces and making tackles. Onana and Gay... as two in front of the back four, even get Garner in front and then Onana kind of gets forward a bit more, but does add some defensive solidity. I can't see Southampton scoring in this one, assuming Everton play to their ability, but I do see them scoring. So yeah, 2-0 versus 2-1.
You're going 2-0 Everton?
Yeah, 2-0.
This is interesting. Is that influence on the way they played against you? Or?
Oh yeah, defensive structure.
They've
yes.
got Patterson missing as well. Pickford is back.
But yeah, like you said, Pickford's back. I thought Damari Gray played well against us and was creative. I think Anthony Gordon's in a really good vein of form right now. There's talk that Calvert-Lewin can get minutes tomorrow as well and is available. So I just think, yeah, Everton are in a positive mindset going into this and Southampton less so. And I don't see Southampton scoring, so I'm going 2-0 Everton.
I think Lavia is the big miss for Southampton at the moment, as discussed last Tuesday. So yeah, 2-1 Everton.
West Ham Wolves, James.
You know what I'm going to go for, because I've already kind of said to you this week that I think it's got this written all over it. 1-0 West Ham.
Yeah, I'm going to go 2-0 West Ham, but without any of the comfort of a 2-0 win and without any of the enjoyable football of a 2-0 win, I think we're just going to get the job done with a couple of shitty set-piece goals or a defensive mistake and be shit the rest of the game and not be able to string three passes together. But that's what I'm hoping, well, I'm expecting. It's not what I'm hoping for. But yeah, we'll see. I'm going on my own. Well, to be honest, I sit around Sham and that. I'm not taking the boys. One of them's fighting on Sunday. He's got a competition in the morning, 10 o'clock. He's got to be ready to fight some kid called Alfie Warren. Alfie Warren's fucking going to get it Sunday, mate.
Yeah. Fuck off, Alfie.
So I don't want to be bringing him home at like 9 o'clock at night, cold and shit. Fuck that. So, but Sham's bringing his kids with nice. The kids' seats and stuff. So I'm not on my own, but I'm not.
But I'm on my own.
But I'm on my own. Yeah.
You're still going to end up buying Pick-A-Mix, aren't you?
They don't sell it anymore, do they?
Nah.
I think post-COVID, because everyone just breathes all their shit all over the Pick-A-Mix, they've scratched the Pick-A-Mix. Oh. Yeah. It's been around for ages since COVID, mate.
Do you still have it at cinemas?
Yeah.
Is that different?
At cinemas, they have the flaps, so the plastic flaps over and you put the scoops in, right? At this, it was just all open. Anyway, Manchester Derby.
Stop laughing Sunday. At the back, everyone. Such his visual description, wasn't it? Was a lot funnier than what he said.
Flapping arms, flappy Ansky. Manchester Derby, come on. City United, home game for City.
Yeah, and United have won, I think, 3 of the last 5 meetings at the Etihad, actually. But
including cup game, is that right?
No, league games.
League games.
League games. They won 2-0 there in the COVID season. 2-1 the year before, where Martial scored and scored a penalty. Martial definitely scored. And 5 years ago, they had when they come back from 2-0 down. And Pogba scored a couple, won 3-2. They've won 3 of the last league meetings at the Etihad. That means nothing for what's to come in this one. We haven't got the United team news at the time recording. We think Rashford and Martial are both going to be unavailable. You couldn't pick a worse game. You couldn't pick a worse game to lose that pace up top. 2-0 City for me.
Yeah, I was hoping that Rashford might be fit and that would make it a 3-1. I'll stick with 3-1. You never know with Bruno on a free kick or something like that. But comfortable, to be honest with you. They do have pace in Sancho and that at Manchester United. So maybe they'll be able to get in behind.
It's not blistering in behind like Son Rashford, though, is it?
No. 3-1. But let's just say I probably expect 3-0. Leeds, Villa.
I've got the same, actually. I've got 2-0 Leeds. I think going forward, they're improving. I think their home performances this season have been decent. Obviously, include that excellent win against Chelsea. I think it's worth saying for a lot of home teams that are playing this week, many of them haven't played at home for about a month. So the atmospheres might be a little bit louder than perhaps they would normally be. And I think Elland Road is one such place. Villa, we think, are probably going to be without both fullbacks in Dean and Matty Cash. Has obviously been unavailable as well. Although he's quite close to return, I think. But yeah, just fancy Leeds. 2-0 I've got.
I've got 2-1. Again, I think, yeah, Leeds will score goals. They've got a few players in form. I've gone with Sinisterra, for example, in my 56.
Yes, great shout.
But I do think Villa will score as well. So 2-1 to Leeds. And Leicester?
I think he's a really interesting one for players on wildcard.
£6.5 million, man.
Yeah, it's more than you want it to be, but he's in good form. And the fitness is coming to go with that now.
Last but not least, Leicester on Nottingham Forest on Monday night. I've got 2-1 Leicester. I do think Leicester will win. And if their game start at 1-1, then it's got to be a 2-1 or a 3-1. But I'm going to go 2-1.
So I've bottled this somewhat, I think. I'm going to go 4-2 Leicester. I wanted to go 5-3. But Mark convinced me on the fan view yesterday that, yeah, there's every opportunity, every possibility, rather, that they may change the system and go to a 3 in midfield, which will definitely help. I think Leicester still have excellent firepower, despite the situation we're in. We think Iverson might come in goal, subject to what certain reports are saying. I think it's a close call. It's not obvious that Ward will play now. But I think Leicester still just got too much going forward for me. And I think it's worth saying at the moment, Forest are pretty bad defensively themselves. So I'm going to go 4-2 Leicester. If Forest win, they'll have to sack him. I don't care what it costs. If Forest win, they have to sack him.
Yeah.
Because for the first time, you're going to get a mutiny inside the stadium.
Agreed. Your team, you got 2 free transfers going into this week from my team?
Just the one.
What are you thinking, or what have you done?
Haven't done anything yet. I'm extremely likely to make a move that I was considering 2 weeks ago, which is Isak to Dominic Solanke. It would enable me the possibility of several different minus fours, such as Perisic to Reece James or Martinelli to Zaha. I don't think I can justify the minus fours. I think Isak to Solanke is quite straightforward, really. For me, it's fixtures. You can throw all the numbers you want, and every single tweet I've seen about Dominic Solanke, it has a flaw in it, because you can't get all the information into one tweet that you need to. So when people say Bournemouth's XG is terrible, correct. When people say, Solanke's expected goal involvement is terrible, correct. But it doesn't tell the story. It doesn't tell the story of him having to play left wing against Aston Villa on day one. It doesn't tell the story of his injury, which then effectively ruled him out 2-3-4. You involve his 45 minutes of substitute appearance in the 9-0 at Liverpool. Let's get rid of that. Also, Bournemouth might have a new manager next week. So what's the fucking point looking at statistics, honestly? This is, if anybody hates buying Solanke, I'm absolutely cool with that. Like, I don't expect the world. And it feels like everybody's justifying it. Like, oh my God, they've got 4 good fixtures. I expect him to score in all of them. No, I don't. 2 returns in 4. That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
2 returns in 4. He's got 2 returns in his last 3. So not looking for the world, and he enables. And I think one really important point with him is I need him for 12. Southampton at home. Decent fixture. And I will probably play him. I mean, I'll certainly play him this week. I'll play him against Leicester. Fulham in 11 away, I probably will, to be honest, with Liverpool City playing each other and a few other more difficult fixtures. But I'm only looking it up to 12. If he's then in form and he's worth keeping, great. We can look at him. I can play him at West Ham. Or what I'm more likely to at that point is once I get past 12, bang, 4.3 million forward. Smash back into Trent and stuff when I need to for that Liverpool period at the end. So he also enables. He also opens up and enables me. If I want to go Martinelli to Zaha next week, I can. If I want to go Trippier to James, I can. If I wanted to force Cancelo to Trent, I can. It opens up a lot. It's not just, I think he'll do good. I don't. It's 5.0 and forward. I don't. How many times, though, Suj, did we sit here last year and go, I can't believe how high Pukki is amongst the forwards. Clear tallies, man. Last season, over 50% goal involvement for Bournemouth. If Bournemouth can average 1 goal per game over the next 4 games, I think he gets me my 2 returns. He'd be involved. So that's why I'm going with him.
Cool. And your 11 and bench will then look like?
Pope in goal, so double Newcastle. That's probably why I predicted 0-0 rather than 1-1. It's being an optimist, which I'm not normally. But I'm going to go Pope and Trippier. Cancelo, Perisic is going to get the nod over Emerson, I think. And what I've decided with that is there's a lot of personal bias in the fact I was having Emerson in the bus team. Because really, I've got no idea if Emerson plays. Not that I'm certain that Perisic plays, by the way, but I was looking at it and going, if I get asked this on my deadline stream, what would I say?
Perisic.
I'd say play Perisic. Just get on with it. So I think that's what I'm going to do. No real expectation on that tomorrow. I do think, by the way, that if Tottenham did change to play Bissouma and play a three-man midfield, it increases the likelihood of Perisic starting significantly. And I'd be quite interested to see him in that system. Midfield four, Bowen, De Bruyne, Maddison will be Vice, Martinelli. Up front, therefore, will be Mitrovic, captain Erling Haaland, and Solanke. Subs bench would look strong this week. Ward, Emerson, Andreas, and Gaye.
Cool. I made my one move earlier. Obviously, it fucking backfired in terms of selling Jesus for Isak. It's backfired for this week.
Oh, you sold back... Jesus as well to do it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, God, I hate you.
Why?
We're certain he's going to score now, aren't
we? Yeah, it's true. I needed to start moving towards figuring out game week 12 anyway, so an Arsenal player had to go. So I'm lined up as it's. I'm not making any other moves. I'm not taking any minus fours to solve it. Isak will just be second on my bench. Pope in goal. Perisic, Cancelo, and Trent at the back. Luis Diaz, Leon Bailey, Martinelli, Kevin De Bruyne, who has the vice, and Andreas Pereira. Mitrovic and Haaland with the captain up top. Ward, Nico Williams first sub, and then Isak, and then Patterson, who's obviously out for 4 or 5 weeks. So my bench isn't deep at all. The Patterson injury is a problem because I wanted to hold on to as many of the City guys and Arsenal guys as I could for 12, and he was one of the people that would allow me
You're
to do that.
You're booking in your transfers now, aren't you?
Yeah, so unfortunately that doesn't help, but it's all good. I'm going to just roll the dice with it. Look, if Haaland does well, I'm doing okay. And the other thing is, I've got two Liverpool players and a lot of people that wildcarded last week or even this week probably do have Liverpool, but last week went away from it. So if Liverpool do well, Trent and Diaz are kind of differentials.
I'm surprised how many wildcard teams I've seen this week that don't have Liverpool, as in people on it, which, by the way, is okay. I did a video at the start of the week saying if I was on it, I probably myself would probably still have none. What I think you need to do is have the pathway to, you know, De Bruyne to Salah, be able to get to Trent, to get to Diaz. That's what I've got. And this Solanke move part enables that. I've got clear, easy pathways now to Liverpool. You've got 2 weeks before 12 now, where Isak might be a problem.
11, 12, 3 weeks.
2 weeks before you get to 12.
Yep.
Where you might need to, you're almost definitely going to need to deal with Patterson. Because you need the body now, right? For 12. He's not going to be back for 12. They're saying 4 to 5 weeks. So there's every chance Patterson won't play before the World Cup, I'd say. It depends on his recovery. Your probably best case scenario is game week 14. Mm-hmm. It is worth saying they do have a good last four fixtures, Everton, but I think that's got to go. Mm-hmm. Isak, I guess, you could look at and say, well, that's great for 12, not a problem. If he's back for Brentford at home next week, great, you'd obviously keep him. Then you've got Everton at home in 12, that's absolutely fine. Just be careful that you're not booking yourself in your problems where you get stuck with... Have you got no Arsenal now then?
No, I've got Martinelli.
You got Martinelli.
And Martinelli, my plan was to hold and bench.
And you've got
because
the same
of the value.
You've got the same treble City, haven't you?
Yeah, Haaland and Martinelli are the two I want to hold on to. Cancelo and De Bruyne are the two that I'm happy to move on.
Okay.
So at the moment, I'd go Luis Diaz to Luis Saha. Zaha. Wilfred Zaha. What the fuck am I on? Luis Diaz,
you'll
Wilfred
get there,
Zaha. De Bruyne, Salah. Cancelo, maybe Reece James or another. And I'll have to do something with Patterson. Four transfers I've got lined up there, and then wildcard out of it for the last 4 weeks.
Yeah, I think next week, obviously Chelsea have Wolves at home, and I think that's Chelsea's best fixture left. And it's a case to say, if I don't get Reece James next week, arguably I should just ignore, possibly. Zaha's start is obviously next week, I think.
Yeah.
So it'd be interesting. Those are the two players that will be front of my mind going into next week is Zaha and James, but with no intention of making early moves.
Cool.
With it being a Champions League week. Unless, you know, if Martinelli gets injured tomorrow, fine, we'd obviously go early, for example.
Cool. Dead team, differential team?
Yes, dead team had a bit of a stinker last week, as you could probably guess that would happen. 32 points. Our dead captain is obviously Mo Salah. That reverted to Gabriel Jesus, who obviously scored at Brentford. We were down to 10, Suge. 9, actually. No goalkeeper. Wow. We've got Alisson and Sanchez. So our only returnees were Jesus, then as captain, and Cancelo. I shall read out the September manager of the month of the Zombie League is our good friend and England manager, Gareth Southgate, with dead Vindaloo, 1 point clear of Nancy Schranger. Manager of the week for game week 8 for the Zombies was L. Smith, 80 points, despite only having 10 himself. Returns for Trippier, Cancelo, Gabriel, captain, Heung-min Son, Bukayo Saka, Gabriel, Jesus. Nice little return there. Claire Easley, 77. James Rogers, 75. Really good scores as well. Wooden Spoon for the Zombie League. There were quite a few who did worse than us, believe it or not, Suj. Topped off by John Dead and Phil Connors. Both got 19 points for their dead teams.
Stop at 9 there, and that would have been fucking bad.
19 points, and that was with, I mean, John was down to 7 players by the looks of it. Phil was down to 9. The only returnees between either of them was Jesus or Ederson. Blanks completely everywhere else. Our differential team, Suge, 79 points last week, mainly because of
Sonny.
Captain Heung-min Son. Sonny, 38. Kulusevski with an assist, 5. Isak, 9. Gabriel, 6. John Stone, 6. Patterson, 6. 79 points, Suge. Game week rank of 167,000 takes us up to 29th in the differential league, which the manager of the month was Jake Reed, 133 points for September. The manager of the week, free joint on 83. And there were only, Suge, 9 teams who scored more than us. I'll read them all out. Kurt Richard, Richard Morgan, Alistair Cooper, Lufa Amrugbam, Cole Koo, Chelsea Schrager, all beat us. And the top 3 joint who all beat us, Nathan Joblin, FPL Failure, and Mr. Rob Pick, 83. Everybody who beat us captained Son, except Lufa captained Isak. Wooden Spoon for the week, Michael Ashton, 25, but I noticed there was no changes to him. The lowest score with changes was Joe Liggis with 31. Our differential team, Suge, is broken. Lloris flagged, Stones flagged, Kulusevski flagged, Robertson flagged, Isak flagged, Patterson flagged. Wild card?
Sure. We have a choice.
Well, I think there's too many problems there. And the fact that we haven't used it yet, I think, yeah, it's time to get it pulled. So, players I would like to keep. Sonny is obvious. Kulusevski's over 11%, but I think that's expendable. Jared Bowen I'd keep for this.
What's wrong with Kula?
Tight hamstring. We'll see if he can train today for tomorrow. But he's by no means assured of his place in the team at the moment anyway, so I think that can go. Jared Bowen I'd keep, Suge.
Yep.
Man at the moment, Dominic Solanke would go in for me.
Yep.
With the fixtures. I would keep Gabriel. Yep. At the moment, partly on that as well, is he's 11% owned.
Okay, agreed.
So I'd keep him in. The only other one I'd really consider keeping, I think, is Hugo. So I want to take you through a watch list of what I've put together, Suge, of potential.
Don't want to keep Castagne, no?
No, I explain why. In fact, I'll just answer that now. James Justin, 0.1 cheaper.
Okay, so. And Darwin?
Darwin,
Nunez.
Yeah, potentially can stay. Potentially can stay, I think. So, Lloris, Raya, Pickford, I think as first choice goalkeeper is your choice. Any preference? I think Jordan Pickford might be timing right, actually.
Pickford is the one that came to mind for me.
Defenders I've got on the watch list. Gabriel, Dyer, Dallow, Dunk, Walker, Zamora, Mings, Gaye, Justin, Shimikas, Emerson. Any of them you'd like to definitely rule out?
Oh, I was going to say rule in, potentially.
Rule in? Who do you definitely want?
I like Gaye.
Yeah,
because of the... Because the palette, I like Shimikas because it's cheap and we get a cheap Liverpool coverage, for, even if it is for 2 or 3 weeks.
It might give us a problem. Think about 12.
Well, depends. I mean, it's just a cheap way into Liverpool. We are going to have transfers after this, right?
But we say cheap way into Liverpool. It's Brighton at home. We both think they'll score tomorrow. Then it's Arsenal away, Man City at home. So by the time Robertson's back.
Perhaps. Okay. That was it, really. It was just those two. Plus, we've got Gabriel in there. I'd have Kyle Walker as well, a bit of City coverage.
Okay. Midfielders, I'll come back on. So I've drafted a draft surgeon. I think we can pull it apart from there. Sonny, we're going to keep. Others on the list in midfield, Sterling, Foden, Xhaka. I think Madison has to go in at this point, doesn't he?
Bowen, you've kept him.
Yeah. Gordon, Bailey, Eze, Fernandez, Sinisterra, Tavernier, Bowen, Mount, Harvey Barnes, I think could be quite interesting again, timing-wise, and your man, Paqueta. Madison would have to go in, like literally zeroed Son, out on that.
If you said Son, Madison, Bowen, Sinisterra.
Yep.
There was someone else you mentioned there. So Gordon, Anthony Gordon.
Okay, I'll come back to what I've chosen. You're right, I would keep Darwin Nunes. I've actually got in my draft. Forwards, Watkins, Mbeumo, Antonio, Wilson, Richarlison, Maupay, Aubameyang, Jota, Bamford, Nunes.
I'd go Nunes, Wilson. Yeah, nothing else really exciting.
Okay.
Keep Slanky.
This is what I come up with, and this is with 2 million left in the bank. And the part of that is to enable a safe move back towards, say, an Andy Robertson if we want to. Pickford and Iverson in goal. So I think Everton got that great run of fixtures at the end. Timing-wise with Southampton away is not too bad. You got United at home, then Tottenham away, Newcastle away. It's not brilliant, but he's 4.5. I think that's reasonable. I'd go with Iverson, I think, at the moment. We can't go with Ward anyway. So we had like Sarkic of Wolves. Go Iverson at 3.9. He's going to hit a rise as well, isn't he?
Yep.
Defensively, I've gone cheap here, Serge, but I've picked names that I don't think you'll hate. Gabriel, we keep. Kyle Walker, I'm in agreement with. Gaye, I've got in my own team. I think you like that as well.
Yep.
Lewis Dunk of Brighton, 4.6. Timing not great with Liverpool away, Tottenham at home maybe, but looking ahead to game week 12, not in a Forest at home when we might need it most.
Okay.
And I'm looking at Zamora of Bournemouth.
What price is he?
4.4. Again, covers 12 nicely. So if we lose, if you think Gabriel and Walker obviously won't play in 12, we'd have Gaye at home to Wolves, Dunk at home to Forest, Zamora at home to Southampton.
It's not too bad, actually. Okay.
You're not going to pick him off from the start, are you?
No.
And the fixtures in the immediate are okay. Then when we want to move the money up to, say, Robertson, we can. 2 million in the bank.
Cool.
Midfield, I'd want to go heavy. So Son is obvious. Madison's obvious. We've said we keep Bowen. The two I'd go with is Foden and Harvey Barnes.
Don't like Sinisterra, no?
I know, I really, really do. Really, really do. He'd arguably be 16th man here. What I've looked at as well is I'm looking at Leicester's next few, Forest, Bournemouth, Palace, Leeds. If he's not working, you can obviously switch that and go Sinisterra for that last game when he then plays Leicester. Then he's got Fulham at home, Bournemouth at home as the two home games that follow that. Admittedly, there's Liverpool and Tottenham away as well.
Have you got but up top?
I'm thinking it might be better to start that way and come down rather than the other way around. Forwards, to go with Solanke, Nunes. And I think by default, and I don't love this, I keep hearing people say, oh, he's got great fixtures, got great fixtures. It's Ollie Watkins.
I don't mind that squad, but I would go with Sinisterra over Harvey Barnes. And I'd go with Callum Wilson over Ollie Watkins. Doubling up on Leicester midfield, We've got Madison already in there. Do it's I want Forest, Barnes as Forest well?
Bournemouth next two. Even just look at that straight in front of you. Feels like you should take advantage of it.
Yeah, I don't mind that as a pump. But Ollie Watkins and Villa, I'm not keen on. I just don't think they're ever going to score more than two goals in a game.
The thing
ever.
With Watkins is people keep looking at the fixtures, and in terms of the opponents, fine. But it's Leeds away, it's Forest away, it's Fulham away.
All the way.
Chelsea at home's in between that.
I think Callum Wilson coming back from injury now, I think he'll be hungry to get in amongst the goals. I think if you're going to leave Barnes in, cool. I'd put Wilson in over Watkins.
Okay.
And leave Zamora in there, it's fine as well.
You're okay with that, with Zamora yeah. pick, yeah?
Yeah.
I think, yeah, that's okay.
We've got money in the bank. There's no need there to scrimp down to
yeah, I think that's best, and leave the money. That it could even be that we come bowing down to Sinisterra, for example, if Barnes is performing well, and then there's even more money to shove about. I think because we've got the money, Nunes is worth the punt. I would not be, for the sake of it, spending the money on Sterling over Foden, for example, at the moment. I think he's going to play regularly for City in the league in the forthcoming. That's my opinion. So I want Foden in. Captain this week, Suj? It's Madison, isn't it? It's got to be, I think.
Yeah.
There's a lot looking at him in polls, like him and Salah in some of the polls I've seen, quite similar titles.
I wouldn't pick him over Salah.
No, I wouldn't either. But I would. I think he's the choice
quite
for this.
I fancy Nunez as well, to be honest with you. But
he's the choice over this. And I think we're in a position at the moment where Sonny's going to sit around in this for a while. Mm. And that's not a bad place to be, I don't think.
No.
Okay, cool. Right. Differentials, getting wildcarded. What else have we got to talk about?
Dead team, mate. Explain to me what happened there.
Oh, you mean the minus 56?
Yeah, oh, sorry, yeah, minus 56.
So, I got 79, and obviously went to check the team, and I was a bit vexed, right? I was like, what's happened there? Mm. But by the time I was vexed, I was like, where's Harrison Reed? Oh, you got 10. Literally managed to end up with Harrison Reed in the 10, team and scored 10. So, I have no idea how it happened. But yeah, Reed ended up in the team and Kulusevski was benched. On the bench.
And
Foden was captain instead of Haaland. I mean, and actually Foden did outscore Haaland. So that worked. Reed comfortably outscored Kulusevski. That worked. So actually, yeah, you worked out fine, to be honest. I was a little bit lucky for a change. Yeah, 79 points. You got 59, Suj.
Yeah, not great.
Your returnees were Cancelo, De Bruyne, Haaland captain, Harry Kane. You ended up with 10. Mm. Botman not being selected was a real surprise.
Yeah.
All the Newcastle fans, I hear, say, look, he's the best one. Don't understand it, to be honest. I guess he's being eased in. I had returns from Cancelo, Sonny's 19, Harrison Reed, Foden captain, Haaland, I had Isak as well. Manager of the week. Minus 56 with 91 points was minus 56 with his team Greg minus 56. Love that. Some other really good scores for William Reid, Alistair Cooper, Benjamin Doyle as well. Great scores. The Wooden Spoon, Suj, there were only three teams who were on negative.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Not bad.
It's interesting because it was a blank as well.
Yeah.
Only three teams. Jenny Amramgun got 55. FPL Cricketer, 55. Wooden Spoon for the week, Luca Warwood, 54. Net minus two. Have you picked your minus 56 for this week, Suj?
Yes.
Go for it.
My bench is Havertz. Starts on my bench first sub, mate.
Okay. Couldn't spend the money?
Bit of blanket here.
I also had some problems spending money this week.
Bit of a blanket this week. So I've backed West Ham to keep a clean sheet. Fabianski, Kehrer and Zouma is three of my back four.
Wow, look at you. You're the curse, aren't you?
I'm fucking mad. I'll either win off the back of it or I'll lose off the back of it. I've added Ruben Diaz to them. So my back three is that. Five across the middle. Mo Salah. Ilkay Gundogan, James Maddison, Sinisterra, and Anthony Gordon. I've put the armband on Salah at the moment.
Okay.
Up top, I've got Darwin and Tony. Isak. Yeah, apparently. my bench is Ward, Havertz, Tsimikas, and Tarkowski.
Ward, Havertz, Tsimikas, Tarkowski. So even that, you're going Tsimikas, you ain't starting him.
Nah. I want to, but I can't justify it over Sinisterra or Gordon or Ivan Tony.
Okay.
And it would be for attacking returns. It wouldn't be for defensive returns.
Minus 56 for myself. Double West Ham defences. Flappy and Kera. Can't be having the cat kicker, mate. Fuck that. Kieran Trippier, Ruben Diaz to complete the back line. Midfield, Madison, Barnes, Sinisterra, Luis Diaz, captain, Mo Salah. Up front, Darwin Nunez and Gabriel Jesus. On the bench, Fraser Forster, Pascal Struyck, Tete and Awoniyi, whose name I will never be able to pronounce properly. That's why I just let Mark Southerns keep doing it on Thursday's pod.
Cool.
That's it, I think.
That's a wrap. Patrons, enjoy James' deadline stream tonight, and tomorrow he'll be out of the game. So, you know, it is what it is. Feel free to tag me when Isak comes off the bench tomorrow and scores a hat-trick in 7 minutes. Other than that, leave me alone and stay safe.
Thanks, patrons.
It's a bit of a mad on tomorrow. Yeah, busy weekend. I'm going to go to the game.
Are you finishing this podcast or not?
No, I was just thinking, what else could we chat about? I might see Tom Hardy on Sunday.
As in the comedian or the actor?
As in the actor. You know he's been doing the rounds at all these jiu-jitsu tournaments
recently.
You mean
recently. Tom Hardy, the... Bane. Oh, the Batman.
That is the one.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
I have a side hobby.
Yeah, he's been fighting all around the country at these little jiu-jitsu tournaments. So there was one 2 weeks ago, the weekend before last, in Milton Keynes. I'd entered one of my boys for that. But what happened, if no one else enters who's the same age and weight, then what do? Go and fucking fight yourself. So there was no one in his bracket. So we didn't end up going, but a few of the guys from the club went, and everyone's like sly pictures of Tom Hardy. And a few weeks before that, he was at another one, and I think he's coming on Sunday. So I'm going to try and say hello to Tom Hardy.
Should he not be doing films or shit?
Fuck knows. He's probably made enough money. That's it. So yeah, enjoy your weekend, folks, and back at you on Monday. Stay safe. Ciao for now.
Try again, eh? Good luck, everyone. Play it your way. Cue music, please, man child.
The Fantasy Football Show.